This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Futuro.
My fear is that as Americans fall deeper into these conspiracy theory rabbit holes and normalize individuals like Ramirez and Agüero, our democracy is ultimately what is going to be at stake. I think we could end up becoming a straight up fascist state ruled by people with violent histories and tendencies. Unfortunately, in our digital era, what most sells and what most goes viral is the incendiary, the inflammatory, the things that are most divisive.
From Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, social media influencers are fanning the flames of the immigration debate in the U.S., and they're Latino. There's been a lot of talk lately about refugees and new migrants arriving at the border with Mexico, and some political pundits are blaming Joe Biden.
Folks, let's make no bones about it. There is a crisis at the border.
What we really need to be doing is stop incentivizing people to come over here.
This is inhumane, it is wrong, and it is the direct consequence of policy decisions by the Biden administration.
The truth is, this is a decades-old issue. And during former President Donald Trump's tenure, migration to the U.S. southern border was already growing, especially during his last year in office. This happened even after Trump implemented deterring policies such as the Remain in Mexico program, the zero tolerance policy, and Title 42 express expulsions. Border Patrol facilities are currently full, and the administration is opening more space for children to be held.
Right now, as we speak, there are nearly 19,000 unaccompanied migrant children in federal custody across the board. Most of them, more than 14,000, are in shelters and emergency facilities overseen by the Department of Health and Human Services.
Here outside the Donna facility, you can see and hear the construction underway as the Biden administration scrambles to stand up temporary emergency shelters for unaccompanied migrant children encountered along the south.
Issues with people embarking on long journeys north to the United States and people in crisis seeking asylum are nothing new. But misinformation and hysteria across social media and the news are burying historical knowledge and clouding many people's perspectives.
You have the ongoing epidemic of U.S. policy and the crisis that is not of migration as much as it's the crisis of capitalism backed by the kind of militarism and militarized policing that you see not just in the United States, but in Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, on and on.
All those countries have struggled with poverty, with corruption, with violence. The coronavirus pandemic and natural disasters have only exacerbated the problem. But the problems in the Northern Triangle predate even these recent disasters, and many were influenced by U.S. policy.
It's not a border crisis. It's an imperialism crisis. It's a climate crisis. It's a trade crisis. And also, it's a carceral crisis because, as I have already said, even during this term and this president, our immigration system is based and designed on our carceral system.
Today, I speak with investigative journalist Jean Guerrero about some Mexican nationals who have been influencing right-wing discourse about the border in the U.S. In the end, my conversation with Jean ended up taking a turn and revealing a surprising intimate connection between her work and her own father. And before we begin, a quick warning. Some language in this episode might be difficult to listen to and might be offensive to some of our listeners. And now, Jean Guerrero, welcome back to Latino USA.
Thank you.
So, Jean, this It's quite disturbing. What we're talking about essentially is Mexican citizens who are actively promoting misinformation to confuse the debate about immigrants. And really, there's a lot that is based on this notion of Mexico is for the Mexicans. We don't want these refugees. And in some ways, I have a feeling, having grown up Mexican and going to the country, that this kind of talk is actually not new. It's been around for a while. Mexico is really kind of a very pro-nationalist place. But I'm wondering, what do you think when you hear me say that?
Well, I think that some of the ideas that Paloma Zuniga and Oscar Ramirez are promoting have been around for a long time in Mexico, this nationalism that is not uncommon. I think where it gets problematic is where these individuals start to really blend the language of QAnon into their video streams, and they're promoting very dangerous white supremacist conspiracy theories about the Jewish philanthropist George Soros orchestrating a so-called invasion of the United States and the Democratic Party allegedly funding child trafficking.
Soros is quiet right now. He's accomplishing his plan, the automatic destruction of the United States of America. And one of the most evil and demonic compacts that George Soros has been creating is the globalist compact of immigration.
Theories that are actually meant to stir up hysteria in the United States. So it's not so much about what's going on in Mexico or in their hometowns. It's more about trying to manipulate politics in the United States through these other narratives.
Okay, Jean, so you start researching this story. And I mean, what catches your attention? You're like scrolling through Facebook and you come upon this, you actually see like Zuniga and Ramirez, and that leads you down this rabbit hole. I mean, how is it that you actually end up engaging with them for the first time?
The first person I met was Paloma Zuniga. I had encountered her just on accident repeatedly while reporting out of the migrant camps in 2018, back when Trump was really riling people up about the caravans that were arriving in Tijuana. And Paloma Zuniga was going down there and filming videos of these people. And back then, she was really just kind of echoing a lot of the language that Trump was using and using that to gain a very large following. And so I interviewed her a couple of times back then, and then just kind of was keeping track of her. And through her materials and through my conversations with the asylum seekers more recently, I became aware of the activities of Oscar Ramirez. He started live streaming shortly after she did, using a lot of the same language about this orchestrated invasion, conflating asylum seekers and asylum seeking families with child traffickers, and conflating, you know, their advocates and nonprofits that are trying to provide them with food and blankets and conflating them with traffickers as well.
So let's talk for a moment about Oscar Ramirez. He goes by Oscar El Blue, and he goes on these platforms and he identifies himself as a national broadcaster and a reporter. So why is he identifying himself as a journalist? Does he have any journalistic connection at all?
Shortly after he was deported from the United States, he started broadcasting using mostly Facebook. Now he's gained a much larger platform because he's repeatedly appearing on this U.S. right-wing media network called Real America's Voice.
We're going to start this hour, our evening hour, at the border near another wall with Oscar El Blue. Oscar El Blue is with Border News Network. Oscar, we're in Tijuana. Are you a citizen of Mexico?
Yes, sir. Yes. How you doing, Steve? God bless everybody that is watching. Yes, I'm was born here in Tijuana, Mexico. And I'm a native right here from this particular city.
He's not, by any standards of journalism, actually a journalist. I mean, he'll go on camera and he'll interview the asylum seekers for his largely U.S.-based followers. They're talking in Spanish about their situation, and then he'll start saying that they're blaming everything on Joe Biden and that they came here because of Joe Biden, and he's just completely mistranslating what they're saying to rile people up.
Well, that doesn't sound very journalistic. Has anybody given him any kind of credentials?
As far as being employed by any news organization, no. He is completely just an independent social media influencer who calls himself a journalist.
So we've got to deal with what you just brought up, because Oscar El Blue, who, you know, is Mexican, you said he was deported from the United States. So what exactly happened?
He was living in the United States and he was deported in 2008 for a federal drug trafficking conviction. He got caught trying to cross several large packages of methamphetamine at the port of entry. And he was sentenced to 4 years in prison and was deported after that. What is interesting is that in 2020, under the Trump administration, Ramirez, shortly after partnering with Real America's Voice, was able to reenter the United States. According to the Immigration and Nationality Act, someone with a federal drug trafficking conviction would never be able to get back into the United States, except with a very hard to get waiver from the Attorney General himself or someone high up in the Department of Homeland Security. So essentially, he would need serious political connections. Shortly after Ramirez went on social media and starts calling Central Americans lazy, saying that they're coming here for easy money, easy welfare, and working with Real America's Voice to create hysteria around a quote-unquote invasion and, you know, child trafficking occurring among asylum seekers, he was able to reenter the United States. There is some speculation that he was able to do this through his very close friend and business associate named Anthony Agüero. Anthony Agüero is a close friend of the congresswoman from Georgia, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's known for promoting QAnon conspiracy theories and, you know, the big lie that the election was stolen.
Anthony is someone that I've known for a couple years and have done activism work with.
There's actually a video of Agüero driving Ramirez up to the El Paso port of entry in early 2020, where he apparently reenters the United States for the first time since his deportation.
How's everybody doing? I'm Oscar Blue for Border Network News and America's Voice. And we are live people from the United States of America in El Paso, Texas. I'm back in the United States of America as an essential worker. God bless you. Thank you so much.
And Ramirez celebrates his reentry to the United States and talks about how they're, you know, he's getting a second chance in life. And he's very grateful to Agüero and to the Trump administration for this opportunity.
So what is he saying about migrants and the U.S.-Mexico border?
He wears two different hats. Sometimes he'll go down to the border and he'll put on this very humanitarian hat, talking about how the asylum seekers need our help and how they're being neglected and how, you know, Joe Biden promised them an opportunity in the United States and he's breaking that promise. So he adopts sort of the stance of the asylum seekers themselves. But then other times he will wear a completely different hat where he is casting the asylum seekers in a very negative light.
The problem is that people are too lazy to work the land and they have this, you know, and they have this dream about the only solution is America. And they're not fighting for their own land. They just want easy money, easy welfare, easy, you know, America, like, you know, they need to take away all those privileges that they're giving all these people.
And he goes down and he makes completely unfounded claims about them forming fake marriages and fake families in order to be able to go into the United States. And he films videos of the migrants at their camps, sometimes without getting the consent of these individuals to broadcast their images on Facebook, and promotes these narratives about an invasion that is being orchestrated by George Soros and funded by the Democratic Party.
So he has a platform here in the United States. Can you talk about who's giving him these platforms and how is he contributing to growing Steve Bannon's profile as well?
So Steve Bannon has this show called The War Room on Real America's Voice. And he has been featuring him frequently, I mean, multiple times in the month of March alone, quote-unquote reporting out of these migrant camps and just promoting hysteria about immigration and trying to blame Joe Biden for this, you know, quote-unquote invasion at the border. you know, Oscar Ramirez will go down to the border. They'll film people coming across. And Ramirez, in one appearance, he said that the men that he had encountered looked Middle Eastern, that he tried speaking to them in Spanish and they didn't understand a word that he was saying. And that clearly this is just an open gate for shady individuals to be coming into the United States.
Yes, I tried to talk to them in Spanish and they did not understand a word that I was saying. And they started talking in another language, and it looked, by the way that I was hearing it, it looked at Middle Eastern, and their faces looked Middle Eastern. So, yes, you know, this is just an open gate. It's just a hot spot.
Just peddling the same narratives that Steve Bannon was so fond of during the Trump campaign, that these vulnerable and desperate asylum seekers are just overwhelming the United States and that they're full of bad people.
When we come back, we'll hear more about some of these Latino right-wing influencers. We're going to reflect on the dangers of misinformation, and we're going to learn why fighting ill-informed narratives is really personal for Jean Guerrero. Stay with us. No te vayas.
Support for Latino USA comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/latino. That's odoo.com/latino. Odoo. Modern management made simple. Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. Immigrants often bear a unique burden due to climate change, but they're also leading the way with impactful solutions. Feet in Two Worlds, the news outlet and journalism training organization for immigrant voices, presents Home Interrupted. From flooded basement apartments in New York City to indigenous Maya farming practices in Nebraska, Feet in Two Worlds, Home Interrupted brings you deeply reported original stories from across the United States. Episodes drop each week starting April 2nd. Find Feet in Two Worlds, Home Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're back. We're going to continue now with my conversation with reporter Jean Guerrero about her investigation into Mexican nationals who are fueling right-wing anti-immigrant rhetoric in the United States. So another person that you write about in your article for the Daily Beast is a woman named Paloma Zuniga. Tell us a little bit about her.
Paloma for Trump is a dual citizen who often live streams in a Make Tijuana Great Again red baseball cap. And that's sort of her signature. Like she gained a very large following that way. She moved to the United States when she was 10 years old. Her mom from Mexico married an American guy. And she was telling me that when she was a little girl, her white stepsisters used to make fun of her accent all the time. And she says that she actually was grateful for this because it made her speak English faster.
For years, I've seen what's going on at the southern border. I've lived in Tijuana for 11 years, and I've seen the destruction of America every day moving north, north. It just keeps moving north. I have so much love, so much respect for America, and seeing it from the other side, I literally prayed that someday someone would stand up and do something until 2015 when President Trump came along and he was the answer to my prayers as a Mexican living in Mexico.
Her Facebook was taken down after some very controversial activity in which she was caught on camera literally shoving a migrant child. This migrant child was trying to enter the United States with his father, and she was chasing him and screaming at him to go home and that he wasn't wanted here. And then she physically shoved this child.
Se regresan. Let's go get them. Let's go get them. No, no. Aquí no puedes entrar. Tienes que entrar con papeles. No. Tienes que entrar con papeles. No. No. Tienes que entrar con papeles. Aquí no es tu país.
So she was sort of fading from relevance because of her controversial profile. But now that the Biden administration has begun, she and Ramirez are using this as an opportunity to gain relevance again, essentially spreading Trumpian hatred and, you know, broadcasting out of northern Mexico with the same kind of rhetoric. And she used to collaborate frequently with Oscar himself. But she also, like Ramirez, is affiliated with Steve Bannon. You know, she attended his border wall symposium in 2019, just a few days before the El Paso massacre, in which 23 people were killed by a man citing a quote-unquote Hispanic invasion. She and many other influencers attended the symposium near El Paso, where they live-streamed about a quote-unquote invasion and urged citizens in the United States to take things into their own hands. She was also involved in a confrontation in which rocks were thrown at asylum seekers. Very recently, she was filming the asylum seekers without their permission, and they asked her to please stop.
So let me show you what they're going to do. Watch, let me show you. Prensa. Llámale un policía, por favor.
Llámale un policía.
Llámale un policía, por favor.
Aquí no va a pasar. Aquí no va a pasar.
I mean, many of these asylum seekers in Tijuana, they fear for their lives because of the death threats that they're fleeing in Central America and also just the gangs that operate in northern Mexico and often prey on vulnerable asylum seekers. So they don't want their locations broadcast. They don't want their images on Facebook. She told them, I'm not going to stop. I'm not afraid of you. And so I went to the camp and I spoke to some of these asylum seekers, and they tell me that they're afraid of her. And they're also just very upset about the fact that these live streamers are, you know, reducing their chances of entering the United States by whipping up hysteria about them and casting them in a very negative light.
We reached out to Paloma Zúñiga. She says she acknowledges the incident on the border where she shoved a migrant child and says it's not who she is.
I go back, I look at it, and I'm like, what in the world? What in the world was I doing? What in the world? What the hell got into me? I mean, that's the only expression I can tell you. What the hell got into me that day for me to behave that way?
Paloma also says she's against illegal immigration and that she's never accused Joe Biden, the Democrats, or local organizations of human trafficking.
Because I feel a lot of people on the right are taking alarming words and using them and making stuff up and making up false stories at the border, because they are. And that's the truth.
Zúñiga also says she believes Oscar Ramirez has turned the migrants in Tijuana against her.
And I think once we get caught up in this whole like social media, oh, who has more views, you know, who's going to go viral, that's when things become really, really nasty. And that's what happens.
So I wonder about the fact that they are clearly Latino, Oscar and Paloma, and it seems like they are really trying to get this message out to other Latinos and Latinas in the United States and along the way, Mexicans as well. So does the fact that they are Mexican, does it legitimize the fact that they're saying these things about other Latinos? Is that your understanding of perhaps part of why they're connecting with not just Latinos, but white America?
Exactly. I mean, there's a long tradition on the right and particularly in white supremacist circles, you know, people who peddle race-baiting ideas, of using brown and black allies as shields against criticism. So having Mexicans like Zúñiga or Ramirez on the border performing these right-wing talking points on immigration helps blunt these accusations of racism, even though the problem of colorism and internalized racism is well established among Latinos. But it's all the more dangerous to have these individuals spouting these hateful ideas because, you know, the women in the Midwest, largely these middle-aged women who are watching these videos, can think to themselves, well, see, I mean, even a Mexican person believes this. That means it's okay for me to believe this. It means I'm not racist. These are white supremacist conspiracy theories that are incredibly dangerous to communities of color, not only the asylum seekers that are hoping for a turn to request asylum in the United States, but also Latinx communities in the United States. And so this is sort of the same thing that we're seeing here with people like Ramirez and Zuniga being used by these U.S. right-wing media networks and using their followings on social media to allow white people in the United States to sort of believe that it's okay to have racist beliefs because brown and black people have them too.
You've been concerned, Jean, that this isn't just about rhetoric and talk, right? That when you went down to talk to migrants and refugees at a camp in Tijuana, that they talked about the fact that now they've got people, which I used to live in Tijuana many years ago, and the people of Tijuana were so open, never como con rencor towards anybody who was coming to the city. But you said that actually now, because of these conspiracy theories, the migrants and refugees say that they're actually getting harassed.
Exactly. And now on top of those fears, they also have to worry about the xenophobia and hostility that is being incited against them in the United States, to the point where Joe Biden will be backed into a corner and will not be able to implement a more humanitarian approach that offers them an opportunity the way that he promised. And their advocates fear that these videos, these live streams, might attract violent actors to the camp. Like they see cars driving by, slowing down by the migrant camp at night, and they have no idea, like, why are they being watched? Who are these people? Is it because of the activities of these live streamers who are promoting negative beliefs about them? Is it because of the fact that their images are being broadcast and now people know where they are? There's more than 1,000 asylum seekers at this migrant camp, this particular migrant camp in Tijuana. And they're not people who are trying to overwhelm the United States, and they're not trying to sneak across. They're literally waiting for their turn to enter the United States. Some of them have been waiting for 2 years.
What's the motivation behind Oscar Ramirez and Paloma Zuniga doing this? Is there a money issue here? Is there a political advantage? Have you been able to figure that out?
They would claim that they are doing this for the good of the United States, that they're trying to save the United States from certain destruction, and that they're doing it out of the good of their hearts. However, you know, they do raise money off of these activities. They have GoFundMe pages, they post their PayPal accounts, and they basically crowdsource their incomes based on what they're doing, based on these conspiracy theories that are so viral and that gain them such a large following. So there's money to be made. They're getting tens of thousands of followers off of this. So there's also fame. They're getting their names out there, and they're building careers around this. As for Ramirez, you know, it got him back into the United States. At one point, he has this video from the summer of 2019 where he's talking about how it's his dream to re-enter the United States and how badly he wishes that he could return. And only months later, he was able to return under the Trump administration. This administration that was instructing its border agents and immigration officers to not exercise any acts of discretion or leniency towards immigrants, even immigrants without any criminal records. But Ramirez, after partnering with Real America's Voice and peddling these hateful ideas, was able to get back into the United States. So there's a lot to be gained from this.
If you watch my videos, you can go back to every single one of my videos. You'll never see a PayPal attached to it. Never, ever. You know, my animal rescue, I do an animal rescue and people donate to that. But as far as my activism or my political thing, you don't see me posting any, oh, donate here, donate here, donate here.
There's another Latino. His name is Anthony Agüero. And he actually called you out on Facebook Live in a video. Let's listen to part of what he said.
Why don't you go to the border, meet me at the border, bring your bodyguards, bring your camera crew, I'll bounce around whatever border you want to go to, sweetheart, all right? And then you can prove your point and actually show people, hey, Anthony Agüero's a liar. Let's do that. I'm not going anywhere. We're going to continue to kick your ass, and we're going to continue to destroy your damn narrative, because we're not going anywhere. Border Network News, America's Voice News, War Room, We're all here. We're not going nowhere.
What do you think about that?
Shortly after my story published in the Daily Beast, I started to get notifications on my Instagram where I have pictures of my niece and my family. And all of these trolls just telling me, you know, that I needed to go meet Aguero at the border. And then I realized that he was doing this live stream on Facebook that lasted about 45 minutes. This was after I had already reached out to him for comment and requested to include his views in my story. And he had told me that he doesn't speak to fake news. He was urging his followers to tag and to comment on my social media accounts. It was creepy, honestly. And after I saw that video, you know, I received a few other tips about Aguero. Like, there's videos of him hunting migrants at night where he's calling them roaches and mother. And I say hunting because that is really what it looks like he's doing. You know, one woman is hunched over, clutching her child, sobbing because she's so terrified of him as he's chasing her with this far-right extremist militia called the Guardian Patriots. It's truly horrifying. And there's many videos of Aguero doing this, terrorizing immigrants, chasing them and screaming at them at the border at night.
Alto! Alto! Al suelo! Yeah! Al alto, yeah!
Look at this woman.
Alto! Alto! Siéntese! Siéntese! Alto! Alto! Al suelo, yeah!
He's got these close ties to anti-immigrant militia. He's got the close ties with Marjorie Taylor Greene. He's been pictured with Ted Cruz, with Donald Trump's son, Eric. He actually ran for Congress in 2020 to represent the 16th District of Texas. And he lost in the primary, but he remains very well connected.
Latino USA reached out to Anthony Aguero for comment. In his reply to us, he accused Jean Guerrero of being, quote, racist, and said she should, quote, focus on all the child trafficking and human trafficking, end quote. He also said that Oscar Ramirez was like his brother and criticized Jean Guerrero's reporting on Ramirez's past. We also reached out to Oscar Ramirez, but we didn't hear back from him. So there's a lot of concern about a lot of falsehoods here. And in some cases, as you've shown us, some, you know, physical altercations. But what's the greatest thing that you're worried about that could actually result from the spread of this kind of disinformation, lies, and propagation of hatred?
Well, first of all, I mean, there's the problem of violence that these narratives incite. You know, we saw that in El Paso. We see that across the United States with the increase in hate crimes. And the fact that right now the number one threat to homeland security in the United States is domestic terrorism in the form of white supremacists. But there's also just the greater threat to democracy overall. I mean, in 2016, like, so many Americans thought it was impossible that a man who had bragged about groping women and called Mexicans rapists and criminals could become president. What is at stake is our ability to exist as a nation without, you know, basically being taken over by these collective delusions. And, like, for me, you know, I'm a reporter, like, reporting on this stuff, but at the same time, this is also personal for me. My dad, I grew up believing he had paranoid schizophrenia. He thinks that the CIA is targeting him and beaming voices into his head. And in my first book, I write about spending years trying to pull my father out of his rabbit hole of conspiracy theories and trying to bring him back to reality. And it was impossible. Like, and so the thing I've realized is once people fall into these rabbit holes, it is so hard to pull them out. And what makes me angry is that these swindlers are preying on vulnerable, lonely, often isolated people. Not all of the people who ascribe to these really problematic conspiracy theories are by nature evil or sadistic. Some of them are just really lost and confused and are looking for a sense of meaning in their lives. And so people like Ramirez and Aguero, they provide them with a scapegoat. They provide them with a villain, and that gives them a sense of meaning. And I think that that is incredibly dangerous.
So when you say that this is personal for you, I'm wondering, because a lot of people are just like, wait, how can people believe these kinds of conspiracy theories that are so over the top? But you actually witnessed it. Is that one of the reasons why you actually wanted to try to uncover this, is to just try to understand for everybody else, to show us what, you know, good-hearted person, what they can actually fall victim to in terms of misinformation?
Honestly, yes. That is what makes me want to shed light on people who are peddling conspiracy theories and, you know, hateful propaganda, because I know that it can take over people and it can endanger their own lives. I mean, my dad, he thinks that wearing masks is stupid. He's fallen into the conspiracy theory rabbit hole on COVID. And so this has obviously endangered his life. He's a Mexican immigrant who was a big fan of Trump's. You know, back in 2016, he loved Trump because Trump was anti-establishment. My dad's against the medical establishment. He talks about fake news, et cetera. So a lot of these Trumpian views really appealed to him. And I understand that they appeal to a lot of vulnerable people who are lonely and who struggle with mental health issues that are undiagnosed. And it's incredibly dangerous to those people and to communities of color across the United States overall, because of the fact that they stir up hatred.
Do you worry, in fact, that Latinos and Latinas in the United States, because of our own complicated history in this country, maybe internalizing the kinds of hate that we see, you know, sprouted against us, that you worry that Latinos and Latinas, like your dad, a Mexican immigrant, that this is fertile ground for them? And you've kind of seen it happen really close to you. Do you carry that concern with you?
I do. My dad's conspiracy theories that took over his life and led him down this really destructive path that played a huge role in my life were, in retrospect, a manifestation of the systemic discrimination and racism that he has experienced in this country. I mean, my dad tells me that when he first came to the United States, he was constantly ridiculed because of his thick Mexican accent. It's incredibly personal because, you know, I understand that these conspiracy theories can literally destroy lives and can put entire families in danger and communities of color in the United States overall.
Jean Guerrero, thank you so much for speaking with us on Latino USA.
Thank you so much.
Jean Guerrero is a journalist. Her investigation into right-wing influencers appeared in the Daily Beast. Mexican MAGA conspiracy theorists fan flames at the border. Also, you can learn more about her work in a past episode of Latino USA. It's called Hate Monger, author Jean Guerrero on Stephen Miller. This episode was produced by Reinaldo Leaños Jr. and edited by Andrea López Cruzado. The Latino USA team includes Miguel Macias, Marta Martinez, Julieta Martinelli, Ginny Montalvo, Alejandra Salazar, and Julia Rocha, with help from Raúl Pérez. Our engineers are Stephanie Lebeau, Julia Caruso, and Leah Shaw. Our digital editor is Luis Luna. Our New York Women's Foundation Ignite Fellow is Maria Esquinca. Our intern is Oscar de Leon. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. And in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. I los veo. Bye.
Latino USA is supported by the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative and W.K. Kellogg Foundation, a partner with communities where children come first. Funding for Latino USA's coverage of A Culture of Health is made possible in part by a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
The immigrant... I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA. Alejandra Guzmán is known by many as La Reina del Rock, the Queen of Rock en Español. We talk to her about her rebellious beginnings, the Mexican women who inspire her, and how she's learning to love her wrinkles.
Everybody thought I was gonna die, but mala hierba nunca muere.
That's next time on Latino USA.
From PRX.